Danny. Dear reader, arise. Stand, if you have them, on your own two strong legs, and if not, then in your imagination, please follow on this journey. Walk with me, reader. Your eyes need not lift from this page, and carry me to that small room with its porcelain throne and fonts of water, that room planned for the sake of good singing and rest before its door. Press it open. Go ahead. There, congratulations. You have unencumbered arrived at the solid space of normal. Now enter, oh, please do, and find what you have fastened. I know you need not look there. You have done this all your life. Zip and wiggle, stretch and pull, lift and gather or unbutton whatever once was done, dear reader, now undo. And if you sit, be seated. And if you stand, take your place. Now free your waters, release, abandon. Listen to the sound of you at your most human, your roar giving to tintambulum, lovely in the round resounding. Now imagine, too, all the others, some reading this, most not, peers of peers across your street, your town, even your whole nation, joining the grand chorus of waters which free and proudly fall, the spouts of Versailles, Tivoli, Buckingham, Niagara, and you. Stay a while. Linger. Be comfortable. Be thankful for your ease. Your body is a marvel of design. And now, gentle reader, understand, as I tell of a young boy's journey. While prone in the breathless afternoon room, the coarse sounds of boys at stickball rude through the window, boys whom a lifetime ago, 6 months, shouted, run, in my ear, and set my feet flying, I held it and held it till I thought I would burst. I vowed no more water nor drink of any type, but still it came pressing, demanding release. Then, weak beyond suffering, I would aim myself at the too shallow bedpan and hope that, this time, no spill or handshaking would ruin the newly changed sheets. How I hated my mother as she took it away, like a sycophant that low and unworthy. How she pretended she did not smell what anyone could smell, as twice daily my father held me and she smoothed the fresh sheets. Books they gave me, sweets, and a radio, too. Teachers they begged shamelessly to come. How could they think I could think about these things when fury pumped through me brighter than blood? No, just one thought possessed my whole being, me throned like a ruler, the door soundly shut. And when I could stand not one more page of even the most adventurous book, when I thought I would bite the next teacher who questioned, I railed for my father to bring crutches at once. I battled for mastery like David his sling, stumbling, crashing, helplessly heaped. I might cry or clam up or curse my own fate, yet somehow again I stood, and my days became weeks, and my arms, my legs. My parents, those dreamers, they woke for a moment and let go the teachers who had let go themselves. They understood that anything gained was much more than nothing and lent me their arms, their wisdom and faith. They understood that I was afraid. They were as well. At last the day came when I faced the short hallway, throw rug cleared, my way swept smooth. Pointed like a sprinter, my eyes fixed on the white sink through the wide open door. Thump, I thrust forward and slid very slowly. Thump, once again, my parents' smiles stretched broad. Thump, and thump, and soon I was halfway, and on I went, sweating, arms burning, enthralled. Tears came when I realized I no longer felt the smooth coldness of white-tiled floor, but I bit back those tears as I faced me in the mirror, a 9-year-old boy standing willful and tall. Ah, the sound of my urine as it fell on the water, uproarious, deafening, the unmistakable sound of a stout, normal boy. What I learned to do, dear reader, you might not call walking. It does not involve placing one foot before next, nor shifting the weight. It is a creep, then a skitter, a skip, swing, and landing. It is syncopate, inconsistent. It takes forever and some. I am certain from the strained expressions of others that it is quite painful to watch. It is, beyond a doubt, my glory.